And so I brought everybody out there, and it was just the beginning of the Triple Crown Surf Competition. So we went to see, actually, it was the first day that they did it. The waves were big enough for them to go. So
that's awesome, dude.
A couple of us went to go watch it. But no, I'm in Oakland now in an Airbnb, and this is just plans have changed a fair bit. This is we ended up here because of a passing in the family, kind of last minute. So it's not the greatest space for the call, but it'll work. We'll do it.
We'll do our best. Yeah, and that's because you got a launch going and stuff too. We're live right now. Hi, Facebook and YouTube. Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to turn off all of my things then. I thought you and I were just talking and having fun.
We are just talking and having fun. That's what we're doing here. Dude, look what I got.
Oh my God. Well, dude, look what I got.
Oh my goodness. You know what? I should have asked for the signed is what I should have done.
We wouldn't have been able to get it to you.
No,
unfortunately, because they ship out from a fulfillment center, right? Like they ship out from a fulfillment center in Toronto, and I think I had that sent to you when I was in Thailand on an island. So
this guy, you got that minimal.
Quite expensive. It would have been an extra like $100 for me to ship it to me and then ship it to you. Probably more. Probably about $150.
That would have been
shipping is freakishly expensive. Like one of those packages that we send out, I'll break it down for you really quick because just the costs blow me away. Like not even printing. Just the shipping alone of one of the packages. And we ship three separate things at three separate times.
Yes.
Just the textbooks and stuff that go out to somebody who doesn't live in Canada, the United States, costs anywhere from $60 to $90 to send out. Like our shipping costs alone per person is $150 to $200.
Oh my gosh, that's crazy. But dude, it's so valuable. Like I was reading through this, I saw you had some Mike Salvietti things in here. That was pretty cool. I had him on a couple like a week ago. That was pretty cool.
He's a disturbingly smart dude. Like
smart.
So many little things that he does. I'm like, that's really just smart. Like you can tell that he's kind of thought through all of the little aspects. I've kind of begun to judge businesses based off of how well they do the small things.
And
it was funny. So I'm here for a funeral. Allison's grandmother passed away, unfortunately. I mean, she was 97, so it's more of a celebration than it is a mourning, but still it's a mourning. We went into the first funeral home, and they all of the little things they just did really poorly, and it was just a great kind of image of the business, you know. Like one of us started to cry, and there was no Kleenex in the room, and the guy had to go out and get Kleenex. They asked us if we wanted water. And then we said yes, and he had to walk out of the room and get water. We go into the next funeral home.
Oh my God.
And of course, the first thing, Kleenex on the table, water right there, a Keurig with coffee and tea right there. And like everything they did was so much better. Yeah. And the small little pieces that they included were like a perfect sign for how they operated their whole business.
Thought out. Yeah. All these little subtle things that you might not like think you want on a piece of paper, but you feel it and you realize something's off. And sometimes it's not necessarily that. Yeah, totally, man. All right. I'm here with John Goodman of the PTDC. We are going to get started here. He's going to tell us all about this amazing new program that I'm actually in right now called the Online Trainers Academy. It's pretty amazing stuff. So I'm going to go ahead and cue intro, and we'll get this rolling here in just a little bit. Oops, wrong thing. I'm still new to this, man.
I don't even know what we're doing.
We're just hanging out mostly, yeah.
Okay.
Let's see what we got here.
You're talking to the least technical online person you'll probably ever meet.
I know. Dude, I have all these things set up on here, and I've been doing like all recording because I was doing a 7-day challenge. So okay. I'm still working on it. All right, let's try this now. Cue intro. All right. I'm going to be looking over here too.
Is something happening with the intro? Oh,
yeah.
Okay. Cool. So we just kind of wait for it?
We just hang out. They can hear us too, so it's even better. All right, AJ Rivera here. Thank you for jumping on episode 16. Dude, I'm not that techie. This is a one-man show. Corey's helping me run it too. Episode 16, Online Trainer Academy with Mr. John Goodman. John, I know you're insanely busy with this new product you're releasing to the world, which is amazing. It's a product and a course. But thank you for being here. I really appreciate it, man. Especially, I know you got a lot going on. personal and business right now. So thank you.
I'm psyched, man.
So John, for somebody who's been living under a rock, it's never mm-hmm. Googled the word personal training and hasn't come across mm-hmm. you. Why don't you do a quick, like, tell people what your deal is. You know, why should they listen to you? I know why we should listen to you, but let's let the world know really quick in case by some twist of fate, they're not sure.
Okay. Well, I'm going to take my hat off now. I wanted to keep you hat company for a little bit, but I'm going to take totally. My hat off.
Totally.
Why should they listen to me? I mean, they can listen to me if they want. I like to think that my work kind of speaks for itself. That's kind of always been my goal. My kind of business goal has always been so I could send out an email without any kind of sell or pitch and have people fill up an event. Right. I wrote a book in 2011 now called Ignite the Fire. That was the first kind of my first foray into teaching trainers. And that book has just taken on a life of its own. It's used in colleges and mentorships around the world. It's in Spanish. It's been translated to Chinese. It's used in like colleges in Canada, the United States. It's used in certifications in India. Like it's crazy what's happened with that. Off the heels of that, I started a website called the Personal Trainer Development Center, the largest collaborative curated blog for personal trainers. 2015, we had 4.56 million people visit the site. I don't know what the numbers are from last year yet, because we just are kind of compiling a whole bunch of stuff at this time, but it'll be about that. It'll be about 4.5 million. So that's for personal trainers. That's gotta be that's up crazy, there for man. All of them. Yeah. From there, I started teaching people. I mean, I've done a lot. We put on an annual conference and I've traveled the world speaking about training and online training more specifically in the last couple of years. And what that's evolved into since 2013, I produced a course called 1K Extra, kind of helping trainers overcome this problem that all of them reach, which is they need to make a bit more and a bit less time with a bit better schedule. It's kind of the single biggest problem that all good trainers reach after at least a year or two in the industry. And we figured out after a whole bunch of research, a couple hundred thousand data points, that online training was kind of the best answer for some trainers to do that. And we could talk about who it's for and who it's not for. And so I created the 1KX course in 2013, beta tested it with 24 people, iterated on it. Now six times, it eventually evolved into something called the Online Trainer Academy, which is the first ever certification for online trainers, which was released for the first time in September and is coming out again for enrollments February 23rd.
Awesome. So that was perfect. It's like you've done it a million times. So thank you for doing that. Thank you for doing that. So awesome, dude. I first came across your stuff a few... like 4 or 5 years ago. I think I came across your stuff right when you first launched 1K Extra for the first time. I think I was just Googling personal training, online businesses, and John Goodman popped up. And so I've actually known pretty obviously, I mean, I've told you that before, who you were way before we had our first conversation about a year ago. So,
and you didn't say hi, and I'm a little bit upset about that. But
I didn't say hi. I was just so intimidated, John. I don't know what you want me to do.
You seem like you seem like the kind of guy who would be intimidated.
Yeah, totally. I get intimidated all the time. I'm a very approachable person. That's what I look very what's the word? Docile? Like I can't win a fight, whatever that word is. But anyway, cool, man. So let's talk about the Online Trainer Academy, because that's the thing I'm excited about. I was talking about it earlier today, actually. Just I love that there's a certification with it. Why did you come up with this thing? What inspired it?
Well, what inspired it originally was that 1K Extra course, was all of the data that we got. I mean, so to kind of go back a little bit, the surveys that we asked that kind of led to the development of this was, what's your biggest frustration as a trainer and what's your goal in your training career? Because that's kind of what it was. I mean, I don't really care about online training specifically. What I care about is solving the biggest problem that trainers encounter, because the reality of it is, if trainers can't make enough money with good schedules, then they either leave the industry and we lose good people in the industry and the fight against obesity and all of that stuff, or they go and do things that they maybe wouldn't otherwise do, which is, you know, crummy supplement reselling, multi-level marketing. Just, I mean, all this stuff that if you've really looked into it and you decide it's the right thing for you, great. But most people who do it, quite frankly, don't. You know, they kind of do it because it's like a last resort type thing. And so I was kind of looking for the solution, I guess, to that. And online training presented itself as kind of a win-win-win. You know, it's better for clients because it's more cost effective. They can work with the best trainer for them, which is an important point. You know, self-efficacy is self-efficacy is the belief that one can achieve, right? And the belief that one can achieve is largely dependent on one's belief that what they're doing is actually going to work. And so if you're working with a trainer that you choose anywhere in the world, you believe that that program is going to work more than just the guy or the girl down the street that you get matched with going to a gym. Totally. And so we've actually seen better adherence from people, from the right kinds of people who work with online trainers, from clients, which is really interesting. Not a lot of people talk about that. And then of course, scheduling for clients is much easier as well. You know, a trainer's job is to reduce stress in a client's life, not to add to it. And telling somebody who's busy and a professional that they have to show up at 5 p.m. every single Tuesday, and if they're 2 minutes late, then they miss 2 minutes of their workout, is an added stress.
Totally.
So it's better for clients. It's better for trainers, of course, because they add in another revenue stream. They can do it when their feet are up. They can do it on their own time. And they, you know, with good systems, you can scale yourself better. With bad systems, it's going to make your life miserable. But with good systems, you can scale your time better. And it's better for gym owners because you can plug a huge income leak in your gym. Totally. If clients leave your gym and go to a different area, well, then you can keep training them. If a client wants to refer somebody else who doesn't live in your area, you can take them on. Mm-hmm. Trainers will be less prone to leave your gym and work somewhere else because you can offer them an ability to make money when they're not actually training on their feet, which other gym owners won't be able to. And so it was kind of a win-win-win how it presented itself. And so then it just came down to like, what are the best business systems for building this thing? And that was that's a whole nother conversation because there's no precedence. Like this is the first of its kind. So, I mean, I just conducted, I don't even know how many interviews, I wish I had counted, and of people who were doing a really good job, deconstructed what they were doing, built it back up and put it into a part of kind of the greater system and plugged it in.
Yeah. Interesting. So yeah, I think it's awesome. I mean, I like about the book, what I've read of it, is that you spend a lot of time focusing on, of this book, The Online Trainer Academy, is you spend a lot of time focusing on like really good quality programs. I feel like a lot of times people kind of throw garbage programs out there, like, oh, here, get my ab workout for $47 or some bullshit like that, right? And so I love the standardization, and I can really see, I said this earlier, I can really see this being something where, you know, I don't know, 15 years ago, 20 years ago, if you didn't have a personal training cert, you weren't really taken serious. And I could see this kind of replacing that in the online space because there are a lot of jokers out there. Or there's a lot of people just taking somebody else's workout program and just selling it out there. And there's nothing specific about it. And it's not necessarily made with the client's needs at heart. And this stuff is all designed around really maximizing that client experience. So I think it's amazing what you've done here, man.
I mean, put yourself in a client's shoes. And if you understand a little bit about buying psychology, buyer's remorse is a huge problem, but what a lot of people don't know about buyer's remorse is more active and stops more sales than it does cause more refunds. And the way to kind of overcome buyer's remorse is to give people a way to feel like they can justify a purchase before they make it. Whether they can actually justify a purchase is kind of irrelevant. It's all perception. Mm-hmm. So if you feel like you can justify a purchase before you make that purchase, then you're going to buy it. That's very rarely a rational belief. You know, why do you buy a TV over another TV in the store? It's because the TV salesman has made you think that the megahertz is important, and this
matters.
TV has a bit bigger than the other TV. What you're watching, it makes no freaking difference.
Right.
But now that you know that's become like your point of justifying that purchase over another one, you feel like you can justify the purchase both to yourself, and you feel like you can justify the purchase to other people, right? What stops people buying trainers is most often A, like the belief that they're gonna buy it, but also that they feel like they're not gonna look stupid if they tell somebody else that they bought a trainer. Mm-hmm. And from a trainer standpoint, if you wanna be bought, a huge way to overcome that intuitively is to have a certification, right? You and I both know that a certification in and of itself doesn't really mean anything.
No.
You know, it's unregulated industry, like I'll be the first to admit it doesn't really mean anything. But what a certification and actually studying from a textbook versus just like what somebody put together, what that does is it shows to a prospective client that you've actually taken the time to really learn how to do something.
Yeah.
In a prospective client, if they're deciding between two trainers when all else is equal, and one trainer is a certified online trainer and another trainer says, yeah, sure, I can train you online. Like, who do you think they're going to pick?
Yeah.
And so there, that's kind of why we evolved the program this way. It was, how do we provide our students with more, you know, the information is better with this evolution for sure. But the biggest difference or the biggest improvement is in how successful our students have been. And I think it has much less to do with the improvement of information and much more on that kind of intangible element of being able to present yourself in the marketplace differently. All of our graduates can present themselves in the marketplace one step above anybody else. Right. That's been really, really fun to see, you know, people showing off their certification and the responses that it's been mm-hmm. getting.
Yeah, totally. And I think it's a mindset thing too, right? Like, I think as an online trainer, sometimes you don't feel like it's really hard to ask for that first sale in any online business, but especially like online training, because you're like, what am I going to give this person? Like, who am I to ask for money for essentially accountability, right? Like, I mean, that's kind of the biggest thing they're investing in, is that accountability and that motivation, right? And so I think for me, the benefit, I agree with you. I think the certification itself is, you know, it's whatever, right? It's good to have, but it's not necessary. And like you said, it's an unregulated industry.
Of course not.
But I think it helps me, the trainer, you, the trainer, in your head feel like, okay, I'm certified in what I'm doing now. I can ask for money very confidently because I know exactly sure. what I'm going to deliver. So I think that's really where the value it comes from. And yeah, of course, I mean, as this becomes more and more saturated with Instagrams of people showing off their abs and saying, download my $7 ebook, I think we'll see that kind of matter more and more and more. So mm-hmm. totally.
Huge.
Go ahead.
I said huge. It was good.
Yeah, awesome, man. So you were saying like online training is for some people and not for others. I think that's important too. I think a lot of people jump to online training as sort of maybe like a money grab, or they're like, their gym is struggling a little, and so they're like, I need to go online because that's easy.
Right.
So like, what would be your, I guess, counsel to them? And who is this program really for? Like, who's online training for in general?
Yeah, I mean, the first note to make is kind of to back up what you said. Like, just because you're online doesn't mean you're working smarter. Right. I can give you examples of people that have built bad business systems and actually break down the numbers and show you that they're actually working twice as hard for half the money. Mm-hmm. They're doing it on their own time, fine. But it can be a crutch more than anything else. You can become like a slave to your computer if you do it really poorly. Like, time management becomes very important, and that's a huge component of the program, is how you schedule all the time, how you block off your time, how you establish your priorities, and how you put a value on your time. And really stick to it and build your packages around that. You know, a lot of people say like, how much should I charge for my online training? There's no one way to do it. There's no right. best way to price your program. It's the best way for you. And that's what we guide people towards. It's like, how do you build the best program, the best packages for you, for what you need, so that you're providing the best service under that kind of umbrella. But you asked who it's for. I say that online training is for trainers who have been in the gym for at least a year. To be an effective online trainer, you need to take a much more proactive, a much more lateral approach. You need to be able to anticipate what your client may encounter before they encounter it and program appropriately for that. You can't be reactive. If your client is in the gym and says, my wrist hurts when I bench press, you can't say, oh, try this grip. You need to know that for a 35-year-old accountant who sits at his desk all day, he's probably going to be internally rotated. He's probably going to have some upper cross syndrome type stuff. You're not going to give him a bench press. You're going to go incline neutral grip dumbbell press, and you're going to take some stress off of the shoulder. And that kind of stuff only comes with experience and in picking your clients properly. And so you need that experience. I really don't think anybody should be an online trainer without at least a year experience full-time in the gym. So that's number one. Yeah. Number two, you're going to sit in front of a computer a little bit. Like, you gotta be okay with that. I mean, I was on a call with a friend of mine, John Brody, a while ago about this, and he's been a great supporter of the program as well. But we were talking about it, and he was just like, you know, the biggest problem that people have when they try to do online training is they think it's going to be like actual training. It's like, you've got to be a little bit introverted, and you've got to be okay not being in the gym, being the center of attention. And a lot of great trainers are great trainers because they're very extroverted, because they can't sit still, because they always want
to be. Interesting. That's awesome.
And so kind of know thyself, right? If your personality is such that you can't sit for more than 2 minutes, like, you're not going to be an online trainer. Or you do what some people do, and you basically get an assistant to run all of your online business stuff, and then you show up for the calls. But that's another measure of, I guess, business development. I think that's number two. And then number three is just understanding. I wouldn't say that this is necessarily the right kind of trainer, but how to pick your clients. I look at the entire fitness industry as like one big pie chart. And I do this because I like pie, and it's a bit of a joke, but like, it's like one big pie chart, right? And if you say, okay, well, the reason why the rates of obesity continue to go up, the reason why relapses into inactivity is still way too high amongst exercisers, is not for lack of information, is not for lack of good people or the amount of good people in the industry. To me, it's because of a lack of the ways that we present the information. We're too streamlined, you know, like, one-on-one training is great for some people. It's a petrifying experience for others. Zumba is perfect for some people. CrossFit is perfect for some people. Yeah. This quantified self movement where everybody's now tracking everything is great for some people. It's not great for others. Online training is simply another piece of the pie. Mm-hmm. It's perfect for some kinds of clients, and it's awful for others. So, like,
yeah, I love that you said that. I mean, I think that's amazing that you say that, because like some people would want to say, oh, you know, online training is for everybody. When I would agree with you. It's not for everybody. It fits for some people. You know, people like you or me who travel a lot could really benefit from an online trainer versus mm-hmm. somebody who, you know, needs that almost supervision, right? And who is maybe a super novice, you know, exerciser, maybe doesn't know how to do movements, then maybe barely understands what a bench press is. So anyway, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, for sure. I mean, you probably shouldn't work with anybody who's brand new in the gym. Yeah. There are ways to do it. Like, one thing that some of our students have done in the past is they've actually found a local trainer who they trust where their online client lives, and they've bought sessions from that local trainer. And so they do the programming, they do the accountability, they might do the nutrition, depending on who it is qualified to do it. And they'll give the program to the trainer, and they'll say to the trainer, hey, teach them the exercises.
Interesting.
That has happened a little bit. Which I think it would be great if that happens more, but not as much as I would have liked. It's a lot of extra work from the online trainer's perspective.
Totally.
But an online client, like, they need to be okay using technology, right? Because mm-hmm. the best way to do it is probably to use an app that they're going to have on their phone filling out.
Right.
They're probably going to have to be pretty good at accountability. Like, there are great ways to offer accountability online. Mm-hmm. Some of them automated, some of them more manual. We go into a lot in the program, but there are fantastic ways to do it, but nothing
can ever replace.
Yeah,
I'll tell you.
I'll tell you some of the ways for sure, but like, nothing can ever replace a human being who you like putting on their shoulder saying, good job.
Yeah, like, no, you're right.
There's nothing you can ever do to that. What are some ways? One is just constant check-ins. And so it's as simple as somebody saying to somebody, hey, when you finish your workout, just send me a message. Just finished. Send them a thumbs up on Facebook. That's like about as powerful as you can do. Mm-hmm. One way that's really cool that we recommend to people in the United States is automated text messaging. So there's a program called Off Day Trainer that we have an agreement, or we have a deal for. That's for like 60% off for students. Unfortunately, it's only available in the States. And it's automated text messaging. So if you're my client, AJ, I have a text message that sends out, and it's, you know, name. So it enters in the name automatically. How was your workout today? Or, hey, message me when you're done your workout today. Or, how do you feel energy-wise today? 1 to 10, let me know.
That's awesome.
And what these messages do is they go out based off of the guidelines that you give, automated text message to your client. And they go to your phone with this program. And then the client texts back. And of course, it enters in their name and stuff like that. That's a really cool automated way to do that. You can easily manually do that. And then the other way is with any of the software, even if you want to do it manually, you can easily send clients the data. You can send them badges, something that I really love. I mean, I love physical fulfillment. I love sending people stuff in the mail. Mm-hmm. Sending them a handwritten code, you know, hey, I noticed that you set a PR on your deadlift. Send them a handwritten code in the mail with a stamp on it. That's about as powerful as you can do. Super cool stuff like that. Yeah. We have a lot of our students who have taken out Amazon Prime memberships, and they just send their clients like little gifts with Amazon Prime all of the time. Like just little stuff. I mean, it's less about actual training and more about actual relationship building. Mm. You know, like what can you do to make these people feel really special and feel really taken care of?
Yeah.
It's basic gifting principles. If somebody is expecting a gift at a certain time of the year, it's probably the worst time to give them a gift. Mm-hmm. Sending somebody a gift on Christmas is much worse. Like look for ways to do the same effort and have disproportionate gain. Yeah. I can send you flowers on Valentine's Day. I'm not going to, AJ, but I can send you flowers.
There's time.
There's time. Or I can send you flowers on a random Tuesday in September, and I'll spend the same amount of money, but which effort is going to have a disproportionately greater return?
Yeah, the flowers. Flowers just because are always more powerful than flowers because it's a holiday. Yeah, right. Totally. That totally makes sense.
There's just a couple things. I mean, there's other stuff you can do, but those are the most powerful.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think that's super helpful, that as is. And it's very reaffirming for me because we used to do a little bit of that, you know, due to other coaches of mine's recommendations of sending gifts when people signed up. And like the littlest gifts, like crazy small things, like we'd send them a book a month in and like a $5 gift card, and people mm-hmm. lost their minds over it because they weren't expecting it, like you said, right? So
here's a couple of things with gifts. John Ruland, Giftology, is a book to read. John Ruland's a friend. He's his stuff is brilliant. Sending a gift card is probably a terrible gift. You'd also don't want to send consumables. So if you consider gifting a marketing expense, mm-hmm. what do you measure your marketing expenses on? Most of the time, cost per impression.
Right.
So if you experiences or consumables are terrible gifts, because you would spend, let's say, $100 on taking somebody out for dinner, or $50 on a nice bottle of wine or whatever it is, and that it's going to be $50 per impression, right? Because they're going to get a single impression. They're either going to like wine and drink it, or they're going to hate wine and re-gift it. Same thing with an experience. If you buy somebody tickets to a game, or you take them out golfing or out to a dinner or whatever it is, it's a single impression. Mm. So how can you maximize impressions per spend? And when you're doing that, you're looking at a couple of things. So what do I send to every one of our students? Well, I send them this beautiful water bottle. It's a better water bottle than any trainer is probably going to own. It's triple insulated. It's a beautiful flask. It's great for ice cold water or coffee or anything like that. Keeps water cold or hot for 24 hours. And it's top of class. And so it's a perfect gift to give because somebody uses it every single day of their life.
Yeah.
Similar, I send people welcome mats that they step on every time they go in and out of their house. I send people really, really high quality chef's knives engraved with their names on it. Because most people don't own a super high quality knife, but if they do, they'd use it every single day.
Yeah, that's big. I'm taking notes here because this is all big stuff. I love it, man. Yeah.
So when you're sending gifts, like what's the best way to do it? I actually had somebody on staff for about 2 years that's only job was to follow around customers of mine, keep me up to date with all of the awesome things that they were doing. And every Friday, what she would do is she would send me 5 people and either their addresses or blog posts or whatever it is. It's like, hey, this person wrote a great blog post on this. Hey, this person just did a great promotion at their gym, whatever it is. So I could actually, and their mailing address. So I could actually write out a handwritten card wherever I am in the world. And I ship postcards from wherever I am and say, hey, noticed you did this awesome promotion at your gym. Like that stuff is so easy to do mm-hmm. with any kind of a VA or anything like that. And it's just that extra little bit to take care of people. You can do the exact same thing with your clients.
That's awesome. Yeah, no, I think that's huge to think about because a lot of times we think like the more expensive or fancy a gift is, the better it is for people. And I even that thought process of like sending somebody something that they're going to use over and over and over again versus something that kind of disappears, like a consumable, like you said, or an experience, which sounds like it would be smart because experience, like, I know you value experiences a lot just in your life, as do I, but as a gift, it doesn't work as well, I don't think. So that's cool.
And aim for top of class versus money. So the example that John gives in his book is, what's a better gift, a $100 Fossil watch or a $50 water bottle? A $100 Fossil watch is kind of a crappy gift, because if somebody likes watches, it's a cheap watch. If somebody doesn't like watches, then they don't really care about it, and they probably already own a crappy watch that they want anyway. You know, even though it's $100, it's bottom of the barrel, right, for its whatever. But if you give somebody a $50 water bottle or a $40 mug or whatever, you're spending less money, but you're giving them the best in that class of that item, and it's going to be much more impactful.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, that's big time. No, that's good. Good advice, man. I appreciate you sharing that with us, because that's valuable to me. So I hope it's valuable to somebody who else is listening to this. So I appreciate that. Awesome. So let's talk more online training, marketing, things like that. So a lot of people, they don't know how to generate these leads for online training, right? They're like, okay, I take your course, I'm kicking ass, I know how to deliver an amazing program, I'm sending a $50 water bottle, I'm sending knives, I'm sending all that stuff. Like, how do I even get people in the door? Like, what do you think is working, I guess, right now? Where should we be focusing our energy if we're an online trainer?
Yeah, I think most people focus their energy on these like pie in the sky methods before they actually access their personal networks. I'm a huge believer in the thought that most people have enough leads already in their existing network that they'll ever need for the rest of their lives. There was a study in the 1970s called The Strength of Weak Ties. Very few people have kind of heard of the study, but most people have heard of the book that was written as a result of the study. It was a book called The Tipping Point by Malcolm Gladwell.
Oh, yeah.
And what The Strength of Weak Ties showed unequivocally, and there's people who take offense to like how the study was actually done, but the result of the study can't be argued, is that a person's success is more dependent on how many loose connections they're able to make and maintain over the course of their life than any other factor, by far, by a wide margin. And the reason for that is your success comes down to luck. It is. I mean, and how successful you're going to be over the long term is dependent on how many lucky breaks you catch. And so the more loose connections that you have, the better chances are going to be that you're going to catch lucky breaks. That's kind of all that there is to it. You could try to manufacture it. You can shoot up Facebook ads and all this crap, and you might find something that might work overnight.
Yeah.
But the reality of it is, what are you going to do tomorrow? You're going to send out more Facebook ads, as opposed to building a system that exponentially works for you stronger and stronger and stronger over time. And the way to do that is just to build out more and more loose connections over a longer period of time. I mean, this is how I built my business. Yeah. I've pretty much never done advertisements. I mean, we do a little bit of retargeting around launches. That's all that we do. And like, I've built, I don't know if it's the biggest, but one of the biggest networks and platforms of personal trainers in the world in 5 years. And the only way that I've done that is just by building out loose connections with tons of people and doing great work. Yeah. And then taking care of people, and they talk about you, and there's been some lucky breaks along the way. So-and-so hears about you and talks about you here or whatever.
Sure.
So how do you get leads? Honestly, it's as simple as this. Like, this is my best method in the world, and it's absurdly simple. And the best methods are always so simple that you almost bypass them because they're so simple. Like, everybody wants this neatly packaged system. Here's what I tell people to do. Step one. I mean, I'll teach you like Facebook ads and all that too, but step one. Step one is you're going to post a tip of the day on Facebook, anything. It's just going to be like a fitness tip, a nutrition tip, pick one, something you care about. Could be a line or two lines. And anybody who interacts on that tip, likes it, comments on it, whatever it is, you're going to send them a message and just say, hey, how's it going?
That's it.
And if you don't have five people, then you go into your feed and you find five people or however many there are who have shared anything about anything that you haven't spoken to in a while. And you're going to like their thing and you're going to send them a message and say, hey, it's been a while. How you doing? And what that does over time. So there's a couple of things happening here. One is you're just saying hi to people, which is like super important. When was the last time that you reconnected with somebody you haven't spoken to for some time? But there's also a lot of things with the Facebook algorithm that happen as well. When you have a message conversation with somebody, you become much more relevant to them. they see your stuff in their feed more often. And of course, what you're posting is fitness tips of the days, and then you're posting like testimonials and transformations and that kind of stuff as well, which they see, which has an application. Yeah. The entire goal of it is just become top of the mind for a trainer for as many people as possible. You're not trying to convince somebody that doesn't want a trainer to want a trainer. You're just trying to be there and be the go-to and the guy, the recommendation, so that when somebody wants, or when somebody knows somebody who wants a trainer, you're the first person that's thought of. And like, you should be that person for thousands of people. And the way to do it is just every single day have 5 message conversations with 5 different people who you haven't spoken to for a while. Like, it's the simplest, stupidest.
I love it. I'm loving it over here. But
you don't need to do anything else. Like you do that for a month every single day. Yeah. I am willing to bet you that you will never search for a client again. You will be able to put out just the simplest thing. I'm looking for 5 clients aged 25 to 30 who are looking to lose no more than 5 pounds.
That's amazing.
And have no serious injuries, who want an online trainer, fill out this application.
That's amazing. Yeah, I love that advice. That, because I don't know, like sometimes some marketers come on here and I love Facebook ads. I'm like into it, but as you know, because you unfortunately have seen my, yes, exactly, yes. But
Why am I seeing this ad? AJ wants to target people who are fans of the personal trainer development.
Do you like John Goodman? I love AJ, no. But that is part of the reason why we know each other, so that's funny. But that is an awesome tip, I think, because it costs $0, right? Like, a lot of people spend like $500, $1,000 going down into Facebook ads with like, you know, an unproven system. And again, it's fine. Facebook ads are you should be using them, but I think we get distracted by like the fact that Facebook ads were so hot and new that it was almost too easy for a while. And we forget about these like just core foundational principles of networking. Yeah. And I think it really starts with having an amazing program. Like you making, like having trainers that have an amazing program essentially makes your retention nearly 100%, right? And that's huge, because now instead of having to generate 50 new clients every day, you maybe need to generate one every couple months because somebody decided to quit. You know, that's your one person who's going to quit this year.
Why does somebody buy anything, right? People buy because of trust. Like that's the biggest thing. And more and more and more these days, people are buying, and trust is the number one factor. And like, no matter who you are, if you knew somebody 10 years ago because you went to high school with them and never spoke to them, but somehow became Facebook friends 8 years ago and have never spoken since, but you send a message to them saying hi and asking them how they are, immediately you're trusted more than somebody they've never met who targeted them with a Facebook ad.
Wow. Yeah.
That's stupidly simple, but genius.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like the issue, of course, is that like I can't package that up and sell that. You know, what I just told you. And in order for anybody to market information, the only way to market and sell information is to package that information into a very neat, tight system, create a hook around that system, and create a sell for it. That's why you see funnels. That's why you see Facebook advertising as like the go-to, because I can't, like, how much could I charge for what I just told you?
I think you could charge a lot, but that's
that couldn't be the sell. I mean, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, like, you're right. It's not sexy enough. I get it. No, it's not like
there's 6 marketing systems that I teach in the academy, and that's marketing system number one.
As it should be. Yeah, but, that's amazing.
But even then, I can't sell that in and of itself. I have to write a textbook and create an entire certification around it and test it with thousands of students over 4.5 years. Like, it's, you know, you can't just do that. And so the unfortunate result of that, I guess, understanding of what information is worth and what it isn't worth is that there are certain things that get to be in vogue that well-intentioned people seeking out information come by and think that it's what they should do, when it's probably pretty far down the line of what they should be doing. Like that could be like in addition to, but shouldn't be the focus. Like once you've exhausted your personal network, if you ever do, I mean, I still haven't.
Yeah.
And like, I've got 235,000 people on Facebook and I still haven't. But like, if you've exhausted your personal network or your personal extended network, then maybe you can look into a ton of paid advertising. But I don't think it's, I think in this day and age, it works if you're looking to sell a very low end offer and you have a really nice funnel set up to push people through your funnel. But that's even getting harder and harder to do because it's so common.
Right. And it's really easy to, as you know, copy a funnel and things like that. And once you copy a funnel, the cost for everybody who has anything even close, literally like webinar registrations even a year ago were like $2. And now $5, $6, $7, $8 for a webinar registration. Like that's it's more than it's been in a long time. So I think that's great advice because it's so underestimated. And I think of like when I had gyms, a couple of years ago, and I had people who, without even realizing it, because I wasn't clever enough to actually think about it, I had people who maybe I had literally met that I used to work with when I was a kid and stuff, who would be like, hey, I'm looking for a trainer. Can you train me? And I'm like, that's exactly what you just said, except I wasn't even, if I would have tried, I could only imagine how much more I would have grown my business. So
It's huge. Just becoming like every single network needs a fitness expert in that network, right? I mean, that's the beautiful thing about fitness is that it's all encompassing. If you're a musician and you play guitar, you join networks and communities of musicians and you become the fitness expert in the musician community.
Yeah.
If you play whatever, like anything, there's always a fitness professional needed. You know, you hear so much about people saying, oh, it's a saturated market. Everybody's an online trainer. It's like, no, idiot. Everybody's an online trainer in a network of online trainers.
Right.
The second you step outside of that network, nobody even knows that it exists.
Yeah.
And so it takes that little bit of kind of lateral thinking and saying, okay, what are some of my other, where do people exist and align themselves? And how can I join that and become a valuable part of that? And I'm also a fitness expert. And obviously people will know that.
No, totally. Like, and that reminded me of something I had a coach of mine tell me recently where he's like, you haven't even reached even close to 1% of the industry yet. Like, and you if you want to be an online trainer and you want to do however much money, right, doesn't matter, you don't even need 1% of the market. And probably you need way less than that. Probably you need like 0.03% of that market, not even, to just have an empire. So you don't need like, every person to know who you are. You just need like you just said, I'm just echoing you, a certain amount of people to think of you as the expert. And I think niching down is
And you're talking about an empire. I mean, I help people get to 15 to 20 clients.
Yeah.
I mean, because my goal is to make a fundamental difference in somebody's life. The program starts with helping you establish your freedom number, which is the amount of money that you need each month to make sure that you're looked after so that you can free up time in your schedule, take off a hobby, take care of your family, whatever it is. I help you calculate that number and then everything's based off of that number. For most people, it's 10 to 20 online clients at about $200 a month to hit that number.
Yeah.
And because once you hit that number, you can decide then whether you want to really grow your business. You can decide then and say, I'm quite happy with things of my business. I'm going to take the next 4 weeks of vacation a year, or I'm going to volunteer. And we're sharing some success stories now of people, and they're completely against the like get rich and do no work as a trainer type thing. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, I want to become an online trainer, and these are previous students. It's like, I want to become an online trainer because I've realized that the only people who can afford a trainer are the affluent, and I want to provide fitness information and advice to people who have less money. So I'm going to create a really low-end package for my online training, take on people, go 100% online so I can take as many foster children as I can so I can live at home with my foster kids. Everybody is different. And this is Timothy Cavender. I mean, you can read his story on the site. Like, he's done it. So it's everybody's different in what they want. Some people want the fancy clothes and the watches and stuff like that. And to be completely honest, I'm not the guy for you. Like, don't buy my course if that's you. If you're looking to make that transition, though, I'm the guy to help you build the perfect business structure. And I'm perfectly comfortable with that. I'm not somebody who cares about things. I'm not somebody who can help you like make millions of dollars somehow magically on the internet without doing any work. I don't really know how that works.
It doesn't exist is how it works. It doesn't, there's no magical, dude. I love it, man. I think too, like when people start, and like to add to what you're saying, like when people start, like I love the freedom number idea, because once you get to like, okay, my bills are paid, you can start operating out of abundance instead of scarcity, and all of your actions are now motivated by service and love and abundance as opposed to out of scarcity. You know, I think a lot of times people want to be millionaires or whatever because of scarcity, honestly. They think, okay, I can't be successful forever. I'm not that smart, so I'm only going to be successful for a year. So I have to make as much money as I can today, and then that way in 3 years or 5 years or whatever. Or they have scarcity in other ways in their life, and they have to replace it with stuff. But that's more of a personal thing.
I guess I always the line that I always come back to with the freedom number is freedom is providing yourself the opportunity to fail. It's if you know that you've made enough money to do the things that you want, to take care of the people that you want to take care of at a very baseline, right? Like, I'm not talking about, you know, buying nice things. I'm saying like, take care of the people you want. What you can then do is you can then fail. And if you can fail, you can try things. And if you can try things, then you can have a lot more fun. And you can go for black swans. If you're familiar with Nassim Taleb's work, you know, Black Swan, Anti-Fragile. If you're not, you probably should be. What he proves, without kind of a shadow of a doubt, is that nobody really has any clue what's going to happen in the future. Anybody who says that they predict either got lucky or are disillusioned. Most people who say that they predicted is kind of hindsight. Anybody who's really honest and actually did actively predict something will say, I got lucky, or I was just mitigating loss and maximizing gain. Which is kind of how you should align yourself. Like the strategies that you should take on are strategies whereby if you win huge. And if you lose, you could lose 100 times and one single win would overcome all of those losses. You know, like that to me is kind of what freedom from a business sense is defined by. It's providing yourself the opportunity to fail. Like, anybody who's followed my work for a lot of years knows that, I mean, I've set up and shut down tons of things, often at big losses, you know, and that's just the way it is. And it's fun, and it's led me to where I am today, and none of them have taken me down. And that's kind of one of my, I have a series of objective filters that help me make better decisions, questions that I ask myself to make sure I make rational decisions and kind of offset emotion. And one of them is, what's the worst case scenario? If I try this, if I embark on this, what is the absolute worst thing that can happen? You know, Seneca once said, if you wish to stave off all fear, imagine that the worst that can happen will absolutely happen. Fear is nothing but an irrational response to the unknown. Make the unknown known and you can take action, or you can decide not to take action. But until you know that, you're going to be paralyzed by it. And so it's kind of all comes back to that same point.
Oh man, amazing. Dude, I'm loving it. Love it. Every time I talk to you, man, I just, I love every second. I just soak it up like a sponge, man. That's no, I think that's amazing advice, dude. All right, I want to respect your time. So let's shift gears. Who's the Online Trainer Academy for?
Online Trainer Academy is for trainers, coaches, gym owners who have at least 1 year experience in person training, who are looking to free up a bit of their time and either go 100% online or be able to create a hybrid program where they take care of clients both in line and in person. It could be the same client or it could be different clients completely separately. And they're people who are just looking to make a little bit more and a little bit less time with a bit better schedule. You're not looking for anything magical. You're not looking for hundreds of thousands of dollars overnight. You're looking for a couple thousand bucks more a month.
Love it. Awesome, man. Yeah. And for those people who don't know, also John Goodman is the guy who started the hybrid fitness business model, to my knowledge. The same hybrid fitness business model that lots of people teach. Not that they're teaching it incorrectly, but he's the dude who started it. At least he's the first guy I found who was like, yeah, I've been telling people to do this for forever. So, yeah, totally. Cool, man. If they want to follow your stuff, I mean, if they want to download a free ebook, 16 laws... lasting laws of online trainers. We just threw in a link. That's AJ's link, but it's a free ebook, so I get nothing from
Give AJ a couple bucks, download the ebook, and you get a great ebook. And if you decide to buy, AJ gets a couple bucks and everybody's happy. I like to produce as many win-win-wins as I can in business, totally. Right?
And it's a great book. We were talking about it, my mastermind clients and I, we were talking about it the other day in our group. Cool. They were just like, oh man, this is awesome. We're talking about the Starbucks analogy you had in there. I don't want to give it away, but download it. It's free. You're dumb if you don't download a free, amazing book from this genius. Besides that, if I want to follow John Goodman's stuff, where do I go?
The Personal Trainer Development Center, theptdc.com, not PTDC. You don't want the Pakistani Tourism Development Center. They wouldn't give me the name, unfortunately.
So no. There's
HEPTDC in front of it, or just Google Personal Trainer Development Center, you'll find us.
Yep, it's right below your face too, so it's right there. You can go there. There's lots of good articles on there, tons and tons of high-level personal trainers, yeah. Fit pros, gym owners, online trainers, right for there, so it's good information. Yeah.
There's a category about online training, but we've got like 350 professionally edited articles about, I mean, literally everything to do with personal training. I mean, if you ever watched The Simpsons, you know, the episode where South Park, where they did the episode with The Simpsons. They're like, yeah. Simpsons did it. I do that every once in a while. I'm like, PTDC did it. It's like any obscure like topic that you might be dealing with, like, oh, how do I deal with a client sexually who asks me in the gym? It's like, we have an article on that.
Oh my gosh, that's awesome.
Everything. So you can find anything there as well.
That's amazing, dude. all right. Thank you for jumping on, John. That's been John Goodman. If you want to follow stuff, theptdc.com. He has amazing content on there. It's just an all-around good dude. And his program is great. I have it. I'm in it. So I highly recommend it. Thank you guys for watching. If you like this episode, I'm not going to ask for any money or anything. Download that ebook, which is free. Maybe eventually I'll get $2 off of it. Like and share this. That would be cool. Tag your friends. You can tag your enemies too if you hated it. That's totally fine. Thanks for jumping on here. I will see you guys tomorrow where we interview Alicia Striker, who is a fitness business coach as well. Take care.